This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz flew over the tsunami-ravaged Indonesian province of Aceh over the weekend. More than 115,000 people died there in the tsunami, two-thirds of the total killed. Wolfowitz later told reporters he was unprepared for the enormous extent of the devastation. He also said there's been a great deal of progress in the 3 weeks since the tsunami hit, with immediate needs for food and shelter being met. As NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Banda Aceh, plenty more help is still needed.
3 weeks after the tsunami, the dead keep coming. A seemingly endless stream pulled from the debris of homes, villages, and businesses up and down the coast. Not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands each day, brought to mass graves like this one as mechanical diggers prepare trenches for more. Joel Boutreau coordinates the United Nations relief effort here.
On a daily basis, the authorities with the volunteers continue to collect between 2,000 and 3,000 bodies every day. Last night, I think, was 2,600. The day before was over 3,000. Tragically, I would say, likely to continue for the days and maybe more to come.
But it's the living that are the focus of the relief effort now. And while tremendous progress is being made in providing for the survivors, the UN's Boutreau says it's not yet enough.
The immediate challenge is reaching the people. We are still struggling to reach all those who should be reached on a regular basis. Food, water is a major issue. Sanitation will remain a huge issue.
Pukenbada is one of many seaside towns leveled by the tsunami. It's about 12 miles southwest of Banda Aceh. The only building left standing is the local mosque. When we visited here 2 weeks ago, it was difficult to find anyone who could describe what happened here. The residents were either dead or had fled. Today, the survivors are slowly trickling back, not to stay, but to see what remains of their previous lives. It isn't much. Across from the mosque, a young man, Farizal, clears and burns debris in the yard of his now flattened home. Next to the burning pile is the small stack of belongings he and his sister have salvaged this morning. A few pots and pans, a vegetable grater, some forks and spoons. They've been coming back every day for about a week now, wondering what to do next.
Mungkin kalau misalnya di sini belum, tapi di tempat pengungsi memang udah datang.
Someone from the government came to our camp and promised to rebuild our town, he says, and they asked us to come back here to help with the cleanup. But so far, he says, nobody from the government has come here to Pukenbada to help. A man approaches. It's one of their former neighbors on his first trip back. They all beam, even laugh a little as they greet each other, all clearly relieved to see a familiar face, alive. The sense of community, of wanting to connect, is palpable. So is the sense of loss. The young man and his sister saw their entire family swept away. Three generations gone in an instant. 25 people in all. Their neighbor Rizali's loss is equally devastating. Wife, child, father, mother, brothers, sisters, all gone.
Sudah trauma. Mungkin saya untuk berkebun mau, tapi untuk tinggal.
I don't know what to do. I am traumatized. Maybe if they give me money, I'll come back to live here. But maybe I'll take the money and find a new place to live. Because the memory of what happened here will be with me forever.
Many of Pukenbada's homeless are now crowded into this makeshift camp, 15 miles away, in the provincial capital, Banda Aceh. They're jammed into a dozen large tents on the grounds of an unfinished mosque, tents that seem more like ovens in the midday sun. A petite woman named Jamalia says her 20-month-old has been sick for 5 days now. Conditions in the camp, she says, are terrible.
There's not enough nutrition in the food. All we get is instant noodles and some salted fish. There were some eggs before, but no longer. It's dirty here and many people are sick.
She'd leave in a minute, she says, if there were somewhere else to go. There are hundreds of thousands of displaced people in Aceh today. Some are in camps where conditions are better than in this one, others in camps where things are worse. And some displaced people in the more remote areas have yet to be reached at all. The luckiest, however, are being cared for informally in villages by relatives. This is the village of Arakom Ura, wooden-framed houses on stilts in the foothills of the mountains. The village sits among lush emerald-green rice paddies that seem to stretch to the sea. The waves never reached here. The earthquake gave the village a miss, too. Rohani came here the day after the tsunami struck. Like the others in this story, she, too, is from the broken town of Pukambada. When the earthquake struck, she looked to the ocean and saw what was coming. She grabbed her two children and headed here to her mother's house. She brought along more than 20 of her neighbors who had nowhere else to turn. Rohani's 77-year-old mother, Khatija, welcomed them all.
I was very surprised, but I didn't know what else to do but help them. I don't have much here, a little rice, some instant noodles, and not much money. But what I have, I'm sharing it with them. What else can I do?
Her daughter Rohani says conditions here are far better than in the camps.
Lebih enak di sini. Karena rumah mama di sini kalau di pengungsi kan.
I'm afraid my children would get sick in the camp. Here there's better sanitation. There's clean water and it's also a better place to sleep and to live.
The children crowd around, smiling and sometimes giggling as they listen to the conversation. They clearly feel more comfortable here too. How long can they stay, we ask the mother. There is no hesitation, as long as they need to, she says. For her daughter, that may be a very long time. She does not want to go back to Pukambada, even if the village is rebuilt. Maybe in a couple of years, she says, but not now. In the meantime, the government and various aid agencies are working to get those without homes out of the camps or other people's homes and into something more permanent. On the outskirts of Banda Aceh, among the rice paddies, workers are busy framing a large wooden building, one of several dozen the contractor says the local government has hired his company to build.
Dari pemerintah. Ini dari perintah dari Bapak Bupati yang sudah dinikan ke.
This will be a semi-permanent house, he says, maybe for 1 or 2 years. There'll be 20 rooms in each house, each large enough for 5 or 6 people. If the rain doesn't interfere, he says, we should be able to finish in about 3 weeks. The Indonesian government and aid agencies hope to build similar housing for those who need it within the next month or so. The UN's Joel Boutros says he hopes to be able to move into the next phase of the relief effort, rehabilitation and reconstruction, by spring. Back in the ruined town of Pukambada, outside the mosque, a group of men loads corpses into a small pickup truck. They've recovered 70 so far, and the day is still young. These men are volunteers. They have come far from Aceh, nearly 2,000 miles away, to help the victims here in whatever way they can. We're here because we feel for the Achenese people, their leader Rero Mosali says. We came because our hearts told us to. We aren't looking for money. We're not looking for jobs. We're only looking to help. In Aceh, there's no shortage of people who need help, now and in the weeks and months to come. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Pukambada, Aceh.